The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into PNC Studio at Hallis Hall in Lake Forest. And welcome into the Bears Coaches Show featuring the head coach, John Fox. Jeff Joniak with you, and we're talking about a dramatic last-second win number one for 2015. Congratulations again, and I know you enjoy it just for a little while. Now it's on to the next thing, but put in perspective what it means to your club.
Well, I think, you know, it was great to see smiles in the locker room. Guys were excited. They've worked hard. We've had a lot of guys come through, some new guys learning, you know, different positions. All in all, I think it was gratifying to finally get a win.
Oh, new guys. Heck, I mean, there's guys that, you know, you barely can make sure you're saying their names right. Like a Harold Jones Corte back at safety. And I'm looking at that during the game, and I kept looking at Tom Thayer. I'm like, hey, two rookie safeties back there at crunch time, you know. And at one point, Cameron Merritt is running a route on the final drive of the game. You know, and Jay's going to him. I mean, this is week four of the National Football League of their rookie seasons, and nothing's too big because you guys believe in him.
Yeah, I think, you know, you talk about the receiving core. You know, Marquise Wilson made a real big-time catch right towards our bench, and, you know, I think that'll give him confidence. You know, we've had Josh Bellamy in there, you know, obviously Eddie Royal, and, you know, waiting for Alshon to get back. Hopefully that happens sooner rather than later, but you know, you look at what happened to our offensive line. Will Montgomery goes out on the third play of the game, and so that's a two-person switch. But it's, you know, it's a tribute to those guys, how much they wanted it. I think it was great for our home fans to finally, you know, see a home win. And so all in all, it was a happy day.
I know you're a veteran head coach, and nothing has happened Sunday or happened Sunday that you haven't seen before in the National Football League, but from a pure average fan perspective, the difficulty of Matt Slauson moving over to center, and while he's taken a few snaps in practice, he hasn't taken a, if I recall, maybe with the Jets a couple of times, he said, but to play that position after on the third play of the game, you lose your guy. Then you get Patrick Omame. Nobody knows much about him either. You guys know, he started in Tampa last year, but now, as you said, two-position switch. You got Charles Leno playing his first NFL start at left tackle. Kyle's still raw at right tackle. You know, you got a new guy at right guard with this bunch, too. And to keep it all together, to me, that's a bigger story than you're letting on. And it's a big compliment to Jay Cutler for keeping it all together.
Yeah, I think, you know, it goes back to, you know, the leadership in that locker room. I think, you know, guys have latched on to that. I think they truly enjoy being around each other. And bigger than anything, they're learning how to play for one another. And I think, you know, that's been a push. And, you know, we talked about believing and not blinking. And, you know, for all the stuff that happened, we just kept plugging away and found a way to win it at the end.
You know, and some of these things you're saying, it's coming out of the mouth of Pernell McPhee as well. And I don't think people understand just the immediate impact he's had. And I take it back. I covered all these Super Bowls and was in the locker room when the Baltimore Ravens won or when the Steelers win or when anybody wins, just the type of leaders you notice over the course of the week. And Pernell grew up in that with the Ravens, a tough mindset and a believing in one another. And, you know, maybe you can share with us. He shared with us about his Saturday night before the game, locking arms with everybody. And that may seem like high school rah-rah. I'm not buying that, though. I'm thinking it means something to these guys because they don't know each other.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, anytime you come in new as a staff and you try to, you know, reestablish the culture and what you're actually expecting of guys and, you know, holding them accountable, you know, making sure they're dependable. I think, you know, it helps to have guys that come in from a winning tradition or a winning environment and that type of culture. And, you know, I think, you know, the fact that Antrell Roll and Pernell McPhee were voted captains, you know, and they're both newly acquired free agents says a lot. And they've made an impact. And there's other guys, too. You know, I look at Matt Forte and Matt Slauson and Jay Cutler, you know, him battling back from, you know, what could have been, you know, in quote, the reports timeline, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, and he's back in two. So that means a lot to him. And, you know, it was good to see, you know, them finally get some gratification with a win.
You know, we touched on it last night when I talked to you after the game, just how patient he was. And obviously the injury led to some of that also, but do you think it uncovered another strength maybe he didn't even realize he had, just hanging in there a little bit longer, waiting for windows to develop and not eject in the pocket, because he didn't have to. He waited, and things developed, and a lot of yards after the catch yesterday.
Well, I think, you know, we talk about, you know, there's going to be bad things happen. You know, there's events that happen. Your response to that event will equal the outcome. And so, you know, you're going to have an interception. I mean, there's guys in this league that are averaging two interceptions a game. He's had three on the season. So, you know, a lot's made of some of the negative things, but you know, you got to have a short memory. You got to turn the page and move on. And I thought he did an outstanding job of that. You know, I think obviously it was a situation in the game that we didn't want, but it was no different than when we fumbled or, you know, we actually lost the turnover margin. But I think at the end of the day, we, you know, won the battle of sticking to it. And, you know, guys found a way, and Jay was a perfect example of that on the last drive.
5 of 8, 41 yards, throwing on the drive, 12 play, 48 yard, 2 minutes and 3 seconds, setting up Robbie Gould's field goal. I thought Adam Gase had a great game plan. Tell me about what you guys were thinking heading in. You're not going to give me the X's and O's so much, but a lot of quick throws, great reads, patience, wide receivers, tight end screens. You had your guys 24 of 32 targets to the big three in the game in terms of their production, 2 touchdowns. I'm talking 83, 19, and 10. That would be Martellus Bennett, Eddie Royal, and Marquise Wilson. So a lot of guys had their hand in this thing, and that was probably the only way you're going to get it done against the Raiders.
Yeah, I think, you know, they've got 2 good edge rushers, you know, so they're pretty stout up front. They can cause you some problems protection-wise. And, you know, I think our whole offensive staff, you know, Adam obviously being the coordinator, did a terrific job. I think, you know, we felt good about, you know, working the tight end in the passing game. Martellus came up big. That 4th and 5 catch, they bodied out to make the conversion. You know, it was another play of the game. You know, Jay put it out there, and Martellus did a good job of, you know, positioning himself to catch the ball, and that's obviously a big spot. And, you know, he had some big catches all day, and, you know, third down conversions. You know, I think Jay did a good job of buying some time, moving around, even with a gimpy hamstring. But, you know, I thought it was just a gutsy, good team win.
Now, the Martellus 4th down catch, that's the basketball player in him. You know, he loved playing back. He's a good basketball player, if you don't recall, or maybe he's told you how good he was.
I've heard.
Yeah, he was very good. But at 6'6", he falls forward. He's picking up a couple yards just on that alone. So he's a big go-to guy in that situation, no doubt about it.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Gafford on the ball, extends his hand, Lanning puts it down, Robbie's end over end kick to the uprights, it's good! Good as gold! Robbie, with 2 seconds left, has put the Bears in front, 22-20, on a 49-yard field goal here at Soldier Field, and he is getting mobbed by teammates.
That is Robbie's game winner, his 12th as a Chicago Bear, 10th at Soldier Field. And, John, I believe the 9th at that end of the field, the south end. He loves it. Apparently he understands the wind much better there, the crosswind, which yesterday was blowing a little bit.
No doubt. I think, you know, anytime you're on the headset, you know, I don't really talk to the kicker much, but talking to the special teams coach.
He says with a sly grin.
No, it's, you know, I just don't want to mess with him.
Right.
It's like talking to a guy before he tees off.
Right, right.
But anyways, you know, sitting there listening to Jeff Rogers on the phone, and you know, Robbie obviously was exuding confidence in, you know, being able to kick it. Even the one really to put us in the lead earlier in the game was longer.
54.
And would have created some great field position for them had we not been successful. But, you know, he was very confident, very forthright, you know, very aggressive in wanting to go for it, especially that end. And obviously for good reason.
The play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. 6:43 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM with head coach John Fox. Coming up a little bit later at the top of the hour and beyond, we'll be joined by Bears quarterback coach Dowell Loggins here with coach until 7. The hold was obviously not a simple guarantee because you got a new guy in. I mean, as recent as Saturday morning, Spencer Lanning comes aboard. But Robbie gave him a ton of credit, so that shouldn't go unnoticed here. Spencer Lanning in a key moment, making the right hold there.
Well, I think, you know, the whole week was interesting. You know, we had Jay holding early in the week. We weren't even sure he was going to play. Obviously, with Pat O'Donnell not practicing, you know, created an issue both with punting as well as holding. So I think really at the end of the day, and Spencer did a great job, no doubt. People think it's automatic, but it's a three-part, you know, deal. It's, you know, we've got a new long snapper this year for Robbie. You know, we come in with a new, auto, you know, like emergency holder in Spencer Landon. And, you know, they worked hard all week and were able to execute when it counted.
And plus, you know, the first extra point was blocked. So whatever happens with mindsets in that situation, who knows about the rest of the game? Some guys might, it might get in their head. Yeah, it's happened in the league, no doubt.
No doubt. I think we were a little low with the kick. I think, you know, Robbie obviously adjusted, and really at the end of the day, that was helpful in that whole operation.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about the offensive line. Charles Leno. So he had some one-on-one matchups with some very good players, and Alden Smith, obviously, Khalil Mack as well at times, but didn't give him a ton of help in this game.
No,
didn't need to, huh?
Yeah, well, they got two guys, you know, so yeah. You're robbing from Peter to pay Paul, and Alden Smith on one side and then Khalil Mack. And they do mix it up as far as sides. They changed it up some. They're both very talented. We knew that going in. I think Jay was aware of it. He did a good job of feeling the pressure and sliding in the pocket. And as you mentioned, I think, you know, for all that happened to us in the game and even prior to the game, I thought our guys did a great job.
Will Montgomery, a 10-year vet that you trust. Obviously, his broken leg is a blow, no doubt. But Matt Slauson, tough as nails. He knows the offense. He was up here talking today to the media. Had a very positive outlook. If he is going to be the center, he'd like to know earlier so he get as many reps as possible. And you have Hronis Grassu, and I know a lot of people ask you a ton of questions about him. They asked a ton of questions of Matt about Hronis, too. And some people think, just because you invested the 71st pick in the draft, that means the guy should step in and start. But it's more complicated than that, isn't it?
Well, I think, you know, anytime, you know, you're making adjustments or things happen, I think being still for a minute is really kind of the best.
That's a great way to put it.
The best option. So, you know, we're going to go through it. We're going to look at the matchups that Kansas City, you know, gives us. And, you know, they've got a pretty good front guy on the nose. So we just got to assess it. We'll get into game planning. We're doing that as we speak. So, you know, we'll figure out something tomorrow. The players have off. As coaches, we're in all day game planning, and we'll have a good plan come Wednesday.
I like how you put that, being still for a minute. I can visualize that because, you know, when you're asked questions, people want answers now. But it you got to take a step back. You have to a little bit and evaluate.
No doubt. I mean, we're going to have to do some things and some shuffling and you know, we've got a good bunch of guys doing that, both in our personnel department and the coaching side. We'll figure out the best thing that gives us the best chance to win against Kansas City.
I heard from Sam Acho today. What a great speaker. Media loved hearing from him today. Puts everything in really, really good context. But he let it spill at that final play. Special team play lasted 33 seconds.
Yeah, it was a lot
longer. Is that 33 seconds of pulling your hair out and turning a little bit more gray?
Well, really, I had a great vantage point. There was a lateral that was forward, and the officials could have done a better job of blowing the play dead. You always risk injury, and that thing's flopping 100. Around. And I was a little upset about that they let the play go, because you never know what's going to happen. But I kind of knew then it was already over.
So you could take it. I didn't, so I was starting to sweat a little bit, but it got a little silly. So typically, do they stop the play? That was a question that was brought up in postgame yesterday. Can they just blow it dead right
there?
They're
supposed to.
Okay.
They're supposed to.
Because that's the great point. Tom Thayer brought it up. He did not like the fact that, you know, he's seen injuries happen that way.
Yeah,
so.
I've seen plenty of them, unfortunately.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
Takes turns, giving to Helou. Slows down in the backfield and dropped by Pernell McPhee. Charges in and beats his man and makes the big play.
That was a huge play in the game as Pernell McPhee makes a stop on 3rd and 2 in the fourth quarter that allowed the Bears to get that final drive that Jay Cutler engineered. And that, my friends, is our player of the game. It's brought to you by Xfinity. Pernell McPhee on 3rd and 2. You know, again, he was working against a tight end, a rookie one at that. It's a matchup you're going to want.
Yeah, I think, it's this game's about making those big plays in big spots, and that was obviously one of them because it did give us enough time. You know, had they been able to continue that drive, they could have run it down to a whole lot less time. So that was a huge spot.
After coach's review, 9 tackles for Pernell McPhee, the tackle for loss there, the interception. I'm certain that when he goes out in the flat and sees Latavius Murray, who's not small, he's 6'3", 225 pounds, but that'll make you think a little bit, and he didn't pay attention to that ball, and boom, he swipes the football. That was his first career interception. But out there in the flat, you got a 280-pound outside linebacker covering that guy. Isn't that the beauty of a 3-4?
It truly is.
It blows your mind.
It truly is. Actually, Sam Acho, an earlier play, had an opportunity where he thought the guy was going to catch it. He was getting ready to tackle him, and it just bounced up, hit him right in the face mask. You know, if he had kind of bought a little more time, it could have been, you know, pretty much an instant replay of Pernell's play.
You know who's loving playing with Pernell McPhee? Not to mention everybody, but one guy in particular is Jarvis Jenkins. He brings him up all the time. He thinks he's creating opportunities for him. He's feeding off of his own energy, and, you know, this guy's made some big plays here the last 2 games. Jarvis?
He's really a great teammate. And Jarvis, you know, Pernell's the kind of guy that raises all boats, and you need people like that in the locker room. Jarvis has responded outstanding. He's having a heck of a year so far in the early first quarter of the season. You know, and there's many more of those guys, and I'm excited to see them have some success.
And the rookies watch this stuff, too, and so they play like that. So Tom, during the broadcast, one series when Eddie Goldman had the sack, a relentless push there. He had 36 snaps in this game, by the way, and they were held to 3.2 yards per carry. And then Adrian Amos came downhill, no hesitation, bam, making a big play on the same series. So he called it the rookie series. Are you seeing these guys grow maybe faster than you might have thought, or is this – something that you just have to wait and see more of because they're making plays with every opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything. The more you do it, the better you get. And these guys, we do have some young guys, but, you know, they're very responsive. You know, they watch the veteran leadership, how they go about their business, how they prepare, how they work. And, you know, they're seeing it done the right way by some good guys. And they're involved and done a great job of getting better themselves.
Harold Jones-Quarte, what do you know? What can you tell us? For the Bears fan who's never heard of him.
Well, he hasn't played football a lot. All right? So football's fairly new to him. You know, he caught our eye on some preseason tape, our scouting department, and then brought it to our coaches. And, you know, the guy likes contact. You know, he's got a great temperament for the game. You know, he's been working primarily in the kicking game with us at this point. But, you know, when Antral went down, he just slid right in there. And Adrian Amos did a good job of communicating to him, helping him through some of the checks and calls we had because he hadn't had a whole lot of reps, you know, throughout the week in preparation. But, you know, they're good guys, and you know, I like where they are and I like where they're heading.
I know this is why you're here, and you guys are all used to this, but the coaching staff, the professional job it has done, just to get these guys all to play, and in this particular game, in the next man up, taking it to a whole new level. But the assistant coaches and getting these guys ready, if you could just talk about that a little bit. There's veteran coaches. They've seen everything. And we're talking, you know, the back end, Ed Donatell, you know.
We've got a great
your offensive line coach, I mean, who I love. I love talking to that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, Coach Maggs is a fun guy to talk to. I mean, you got to give him some credit here.
There's no doubt. I mean, it's not a one-man show. You know, I think, you know, having a really good staff is important for any success. We've got really, really good people as well as really, really good coaches. And, you know, they've been there and done that and are doing a superb job and will continue to do as much.
So we got one win down, and every journey begins with a single step, and it's off to Kansas City. Not an easy place to play for those who've never been there. Somebody asked me today, hey, you know, would it be fun to go there? Yeah, it's fun to go there. Mm-hmm. It's much like Green Bay. That town loves their team, and they go crazy. So won't be a very inviting environment.
No, it's a great venue for sure. And, you know, I've known Andy Reid for a long time. They're also a well-coached outfit. They lost to a good Bengals team this past weekend. And, you know, they got in the red area 7 times. They kicked, you know, 7 field goals. And, you know, that's not the way you're going to, you know, stay up with a team like Cincinnati. But they've got a good defense. They've got good edge rushers in Tom Bahaly and Houston. They've got a big presence inside in Don Terry Poe. You know, and they moved the ball. They've just been a little bit short. They played some good teams just like we have, and it'll be a huge test.
Travis Kelce, the tight end emerging. He's a threat now downfield for Alex Smith.
Yeah, no doubt. He's, you know, he came in. He's out of the University of Cincinnati. We saw him, you know, coming out when I was in Denver. You know, we're very familiar with their team just from, you know, a lot of people on our staff coming from Denver. So we know it'll be a tough contest, and it's a tough place to play for sure.
Last question before I let you go. With that being said, knowing the AFC West, does it help a little bit? I know rosters change a lot and everything, but does that help a little bit?
Yeah, it does. I think familiarity always helps. You know, I think the issue is they're a little bit familiar with us, too.
Yeah, they're familiar with you, but yeah, see, you got new coaches here that you have more. You know, I think that's an advantage.
Oh, there's no doubt.
They've been in place. This is all new. And well, you guys are coming up with new wrinkles every week.
No doubt. I mean, you don't stay the same. And, you know, there's still some familiarity on both sides. You know, they're familiar with Adam because, you know, Adam was our coordinator in Denver. You know, not so much with Vic. Vic came from San Fran. So, they go back and study tape on you just like we study tape on them. So it's about players executing.
All right, go dig in. I know you can't wait.
You're right.
Yeah, you got to do it. That's John Fox. Coming up next, we'll talk to quarterbacks coach Dowell Loggins.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. In this hour featuring quarterbacks coach Dowell Loggins. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System, MasterCard, and Comcast. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Shotgun snap, 3rd and 7. Quick throw. They go underneath. Front of the 6. Eddie Royals in. Right front corner of the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears.
Jay Cutler, 1 of 2 touchdown throws. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Now joined by quarterbacks coach Dowell Loggins. Thanks for joining us. Jay Cutler had an impressive day. What was your evaluation?
Thought Jay did a good job, played well, especially considering the injury that he was battling, just to get out there with his teammates, and it just shows you how important this team is to Jay.
And vice versa, guys. We're talking about it today. Matt Slauson, you know, his presence in the huddle gives them confidence. Not that it doesn't with Jimmy Clausen or if David Fales ever gets an opportunity, but he's your starter. He's your guy. He's one of your leaders out there. However he wants to be portrayed outside the building, inside the building, that's how they look at him.
Right. I mean, it goes to show you. I mean, he was voted a captain by his teammates, so it shows you right there what their opinion of him is. And he is our leader, and there is a difference when he's on the field, regardless of who else is out there, you know, with how the team responds, the confidence they have. And, I mean, he's a good player.
Without revealing everything, how can you put into context how physically challenging it was for him out there with that hamstring injury?
You know, he's worked really hard the last 2 weeks to get back on the field, and only he really knows the degree of where his injury was. I just know that it takes a really tough player to get back on the field after what he'd gone through.
And your job as a quarterback's coach, obviously, is to prep him and also to work with him on everything, of course. But how about upstairs? You know, that's a big part of it, too, a little bit.
Yes, you know, and Joe, every time you get in these room with these quarterbacks, they're very smart, they're very intelligent. Jay's played for a long time, and we're very fortunate to have his knowledge of learning a new system. He can relate it to systems he's been in the past. He has a great understanding of defensive structure and protection. So it's a huge advantage to have a veteran like that.
But also for a veteran who's, you know, worked his way through some injuries, also know how to play with a little pain or with a little limitation, right?
Yes, and that's a big thing. There's a difference between, you know, injured and hurt, and, you know, Jay understands, you know, how important it is for him to be out there for, you know, for his teammates, or for he wants to win and contribute, and he was frustrated that he wasn't able to help, you know, in the Seattle game. So he's going to do everything in his power to get healthy and get back on the field.
First word that popped into my head watching him, because there were times, you know, you get used to him ejecting the pocket because he can pick up first downs with his legs, but started to a couple of times, waited patiently, windows open, guys finished their routes, or in the case of Marquise Wilson on that opening drive, it was an in cut, and then he ad-libbed all the way to the outside, right? Well, broke free, and that patience, he was calm. That was the word. He was very calm. Not that he isn't, but he was very calm and thrown from that pocket, which you have to do in this league in order to be successful. You got to be able to climb and throw in the pocket and hang in there, man. I thought he was outstanding yesterday.
It started with the second play of the game. You know, we had an explosive pass to Marty when we call a play, a three-step drop, and Jay's patient in the pocket, and everyone's covered. And he does a good job sliding in the pocket, guy grabbing at his foot. And Marty does a good job of uncovering, and Jay sees him. And I think that maybe the injury did calm him down in the pocket a little bit because, you know, one of Jay's biggest strengths is his legs. And, you know, in the Arizona game when he played in Green Bay, he was making plays on zone read and stuff like that that he hadn't done in his career, but he was obviously more than capable of doing. And, you know, we've tried to max out the things he does well. And, you know, I think that a lot of that, you know, the injury did slow him down in the pocket a little bit, and he wasn't able to extend plays past the line of scrimmage, but he did a good job moving inside the pocket and finding open receivers. And the play you mentioned to Marquise Wilson, there was a couple other ones later in the game as well.
Right, helps offensive line, too. They know where he is.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the first thing they want to know is where's the launch point on every throw. You know, Kyle Long wants to know, can I push this guy back, this Khalil Mack, you know, this. So that's definitely something that's very important to all of us.
All right, we're with Dowell Loggins, the Bears quarterback coach.
The Bears Coaches Show with quarterbacks coach Dowell Loggins and WBBM's Jeff Jodiak continues.
You know, having him in there, we're just so confident. You know, he's our guy. We have full belief in him. I mean, he played lights out yesterday, and we know that he can do that every week. So when he's in there, it just juices us all up.
That's Matt Slauson, the Bears guard center, at least yesterday. After play three, when Will Montgomery unfortunately went down with a broken leg, he had a slip in there and handled himself well inside. Jeff Joniak along with Bears quarterback coach Dowell Loggins here at 713 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Listen to the next Bears All Access radio show brought to you by Sports Authority this Thursday, 6 o'clock on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Sorry, folks, I am a little bit under the weather, so I almost broke out into a big cough right there. So that may happen yet tonight. All right, let's talk about the quarterback-center relationship in a situation like that where they have practiced a bit but far from a game-day experience with a nose on your face and, you know, a big front with the Oakland Raiders. Totally different ballgame, isn't it? How much time does it take between a center and a quarterback from a shotgun to underneath to develop a little bit of trust in each other?
It does take time. We're very fortunate because we have a veteran offensive line coach and Dave Magazu, who's done it for a really long time. And you know, we've made sure since day one that Matt is a guy that Jay and Matt take snaps every day and do a good job rotating those guys in pre-practice and stuff like that. But it does change a little bit when you go from a 4-3 to a 3-4, because all of a sudden now as a center, you've got someone right over you every time, which Oakland did as well in their base downs. But it is something that's very important. Every play starts with it, and we need to be sharp with whatever decision we make and who the center is this week.
Right, and Hironas Grasu is another option, obviously, as a third-round pick from a very good program, very well-regarded player.
Yeah, he is a very smart player. You know, he's been taking snaps with Jay and Jimmy and David, the rest of the guys, and, you know, if he has to play, feel good about that.
And we mentioned this a little bit, but what it says about Jay in the locker room when a guy's banged up and still makes himself available to play. What message does it send to everybody else, and how important is it that you go through that as quarterback?
Well, I think it shows the team how important it is to them as an individual, how important this team is to Jay. And, you know, as a young player, it's good to see these veterans that are high profile and get paid a lot of money to fight through and battle through injuries. And, you know, it gives it's kind of showing the way of how this game's supposed to be played. And it is a very physical game played by physical men, and that's part of it.
Yeah, you've been at a few stops in the NFL, primarily Tennessee, a good long stay there. You've been with the Dallas Cowboys to start your career, Cleveland Browns. But you know Jay. You knew Jay. Is it from the Nashville relationship? How did you guys know each other? Did you guys have instant trust with each other?
In 2006, we were going through my first year with the Titans. I'd left the Cowboys and gone there, and we were going through the draft process with Matt Leinart, Vince Young, and Jay Cutler, and you know, a Nashville guy, so we spent a lot of time together, and, you know, I think we worked him out twice. He came to our place. We went and worked him out. Still the most impressive workout I've ever been to in 11 years as a coach in the NFL. Just because how talented he is. It was a rainy day at Vanderbilt, overcast, and he cut the ball through the wind like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, I know that we were very high on him in Tennessee. Obviously, it didn't work out. We went a different direction, but living in Nashville, he was in Nashville. You know, we didn't live very far from each other at all. Just a guy that I've always respected as a player, and now I have the opportunity to coach him, which I'm excited to do.
You talk about a ball cutting through the air. When I first, 2009, when he was here for a mini camp in his first year, I'm on the sideline, and I've heard it from time to time. I kept hearing like a whistle. His ball was whistling. It was so that's such a tight spiral and so much heat on it. It was whistling. I mean, do you hear that very often for the NFL quarterbacks?
Not at all. Not.
I mean, it was you know what I'm saying, right?
Yes. I mean, that's the ball. Like the guy, his offensive coordinator in Denver was a guy named Mike Heimerdinger, who left after they drafted him in 2007, came to the Titans in 2008, and he would tell stories about Jay in Denver cutting the ball through the wind and just the whistling sound that it made. The only guy he said that, and he coached for a long time in this league, was John Elway. That was the only guy that he'd been around that could cut the ball through the wind like that.
Mike Heimerdinger, an Eastern Illinois guy we know very well, passed away a few years ago, and good man.
Yes, sir.
Did he have impact on you?
Yes, very much so. He was kind of my Norm Chow was my first boss in Tennessee, and then Coach Dinger was a guy that kind of raised me in the NFL and a guy that I had great respect for and who's taught me the most about football out of everyone I was around.
Very tight with Mike Shanahan also.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back to the program as the Bears get ready now to play the Kansas City Chiefs here with Dowell Loggins. Just a couple of more minutes with him, and then we'll hear again from Coach John Fox. How much fun is it working with Adam Gase? He's a very energetic and dynamic mind offensively.
You know, it's been a lot of fun so far in learning a new system and being part of something that, has his fingerprints on as well as Peyton Manning's. And the success they've had with it, it's been fun. It's been a great challenge to learn.
You know, with Jay having so many different coordinators, that's a major topic of conversation when the year started about, you know, people write about it 5 and 7 years. So how do you approach something like that? I mean, are you stripping paint and are you getting a nice clean surface to do a new paint job a little bit? Or you just want to influence him in a certain way to fit the scheme? How do you guys handle that?
You do want to start over. And obviously all these guys they have a base of knowledge that they can recall stuff on. And there's no reinventing the wheel. I mean, slant flat is slant flat. It's just called, you know, Jay's probably heard it 6 or 7 times differently than the way we call it. But, you know, the concepts are similar, but you do want the way we teach it, the way we teach the reads of progression does change. And Jay hasn't been as fortunate as a lot of these guys like Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning. Some of these guys have been in one place and one system for a long time. Drew Brees, they've started to master their system. And, you know, that's hopefully that we can create something here for a long time that we do have mastery of. But to this point, you know, we're very fortunate because Jay is smart. He's extremely smart and picked up the system very quickly.
Are there things that you, as his position coach, have to harp on him every day he gets tired of hearing?
Absolutely.
Are you a repetitive guy?
Very. Jay's a very talented guy, and sometimes with talented guys, they get away with stuff that a lot of players can't get away with, and it's staying on his footwork and staying on his discipline of his eyes and stuff like that because he is so talented. He can get away with things that most guys can't get away with. He elite arm. So just staying on those small things and, you know, doing the small things with the footwork that translates to the timing of play or, you know, the difference in being late or behind the throw. So there are those small details that, you know, he's been great with. He's embraced and very coachable guy. You know, he's a knowledgeable guy and he knows how he thinks it should look. And it's been a great relationship so far.
I'll switch gears a little bit in our last question before we let you go. You were Arkansas walk-on quarterback. You and I are very similar in height. I think they listed you at 5'6".
Yes.
Is that about right?
That's with my shoes off.
But you talked your way into a lot of different things, including being their holder at Arkansas back in the college days. So you understand how significant yesterday was with a guy who didn't work very much at all with your long snapper, Thomas Gafford, and your kicker, Robbie Gould, to set up what was the game winner, and that's Spencer Lanning. There is a skill to being a holder you clearly mastered at Arkansas. Can you explain to people how significant that was, that guy could come in there and do all that?
Was important. It was important. He was on the last scoring play we had, and just the fact that Robbie had confidence in Spencer, and I was around Spencer in Cleveland last year a little bit, and just being a trustworthy guy and make sure that you hit the spot and do your job, and you know you're not getting a pat on the back, and no one remembers who was the holder. Or, you know, no one in the stadium yesterday knew what was going on with that position, or no one could name that guy. But his execution was part of the reason we won.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, and thank you for being here. Quarterback Coach Dowell Loggins. Earlier this evening, Coach John Fox on what win number one means to the Bears.
It was great to see smiles in the locker room. Guys were excited. They've worked hard. We've had a lot of guys come through, some new guys learning, you know, different positions. All in all, I think it was good to – it was gratifying to finally get a win.
Oh, and new guys, heck. I mean, there's guys that, you know, you barely can make sure you're saying their names right. Like a Harold Jones Corte back at safety. And I'm looking at that during the game, and I kept looking at Tom Thayer. I'm like, hey, two rookie safeties back there at crunch time, you know. And at one point, Cameron Merritt is running a route on the final drive of the game, you know, and Jay's going to him. I mean, this is – Week four of the National Football League of their rookie seasons, and nothing's too big because you guys believe in them.
Yeah, I think, you know, you talk about the receiving core. You know, Marquise Wilson made a real big-time catch right towards our bench, and, you know, I think that'll give him confidence. You know, we've had Josh Bellamy in there, you know, obviously Eddie Royal, and, you know, waiting for Alshon to get back. Hopefully that happens sooner rather than later, but... you know, you look at what happened to our offensive line. Will Montgomery goes out on the third play of the game, and so that's a two-person switch. But it's, you know, it's a tribute to those guys, how much they wanted it. I think it was great for our home fans to finally, you know, see a home win. And so all in all, it was a happy day.
I know you're a veteran head coach, and nothing has happened Sunday or happened Sunday that you haven't seen before in the National Football League, but from a pure average fan perspective, the difficulty of Matt Slauson moving over to center, and while he's taken a few snaps in practice, he hasn't taken a, if I recall, maybe with the Jets a couple of times, he said, but to play that position, after on the third play of the game, you lose your guy. Then you get Patrick Omame. Nobody knows much about him either. You guys know, he started in Tampa last year, but now, as you said, two-position switch. You got Charles Leno playing his first NFL start at left tackle. Kyle's still raw at right tackle. You know, you got a new guy at right guard with this bunch, too. And to keep it all together, to me, that's a bigger story than you're letting on. And it's a big compliment to Jay Cutler for keeping it all together.
Yeah, I think, you know, it goes back to, you know, the leadership in that locker room. I think, you know, guys have latched on to that. I think they truly enjoy being around each other. And bigger than anything, they're learning how to play for one another. And I think, you know, that's been a push. And, you know, we talked about believing and not blinking. And, you know, for all the stuff that happened, we just kept plugging away and found a way to win it at the end.
You know, and some of these things you're saying, it's coming out of the mouth of Pernell McPhee as well. And I don't think people understand just the immediate impact he's had. And I take it back. I covered all these Super Bowls and was in the locker room when the Baltimore Ravens won or when the Steelers win or when anybody wins, just the type of leaders you notice over the course of the week. And Pernell grew up in that with the Ravens, a tough mindset and a believing in one another. And, you know, maybe you can share with us. He shared with us about his Saturday night before the game, locking arms with everybody, and that may seem like high school rah-rah. I'm not buying that, though. I'm thinking it means something to these guys because they don't know each other.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, anytime you come in new as a staff and you try to, you know, reestablish the culture and what you're actually expecting of guys and, you know, holding them accountable, you know, making sure they're dependable, I think, you know, it helps to have guys that come in from a winning tradition or a winning environment and that type of culture. And, you know, I think, you know, the fact that Antrell Roll and Pernell McPhee were voted captains, you know, and they're both newly acquired free agents says a lot. And they've made an impact. And there's other guys, too. You know, I look at Matt Forte and Matt Slauson and Jay Cutler, you know, him battling back from, you know, what could have been, you know, in quote, the reports timeline, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, and he's back in two. So that means a lot to him. And, you know, it was good to see, you know, them finally get some gratification with a win.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden. Brought to you by Jimmy John's, airing every Sunday night, 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago. Or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears and spend game day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare. 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago, and after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. For John Fox and Dowell Loggins, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. Bears Chiefs Sunday exclusive pregame underway at 9 a.m. Kickoff at noon. This is News Radio on 105.9 FM WBBM. Good night, everybody.